Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, and welcome to another edition of Real Science Friday. I became a creationist pretty much when I became a Christian in 1973 through the ministry of Henry Morris. And I started reading, and the more I read about creation and evolution, I found myself through the decades reading articles written by Dr. Jerry Bergman. And it turns out that Jerry Bergman has published almost 800 articles and books. And what an honor to have him in the studio right now. Dr. Bergman, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Wow, what a joy. We have 50,000 watts now to share with people all over Colorado the truth that there is a creator and we are not animals. Darwin was wrong. But you've written a book called The Slaughter of the Dissidents.
Right.
And I'd like us to talk about that. Maybe next week we'll do a show to air next week, and we'll talk more about creation, evolution, fossils, all that. But you're going to be speaking tonight at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship at 7 o'clock. And so that's really important to go through that topic and invite people to come on out. In fact, it's tonight, 7 o'clock, June 11th. At Bethlehem Lutheran Chapel, 21st and Wadsworth in the Denver area. So, Slaughter of the Dissidents. The topic is those who dare to question Darwinism and what happens to them in their careers.
Right. And the problem is not just creationists, but the problem is anyone who questions the major paradigm called Darwinism today. Mm. And the reason it's such a concern is because when my days of an atheist are, I realize that the key to atheism, the door to atheism, is evolution. Mm-hmm. Once you convince somebody that we know God created us, once you convince someone that mutations, natural selection, the accumulation of copy and errors can indeed produce all of what we see around us, all life that we see around us, then indeed you put God out of a job, and as a result, what happens? People see no need for a creator in their life. Mm-hmm. And many people, not all of course, but many people therefore become atheists. Mm-hmm. I've done surveys of why people become atheists. In fact, there are a number of books which talk about why people become atheists. And there are many reasons, but one of the major reasons is this issue of evolution. So it's a doorway to atheism and the atheist movement. Of course, they want to, I guess like everybody else, they want everybody to agree with their worldview. Mm-hmm. And to get people to accept their worldview, they have to convince them of the validity of their worldview. And the main way, or major way in many cases, is through evolution.
So origins, where did I come from? Where am I headed? These are questions that all humans wrestle with. And so there are many Christians who think, well, it doesn't really matter because we're here. But as we show that Darwinism as a scientific theory is bankrupt, and it is, Darwinists, professional Darwinists, are in a vice. They're being squeezed by the onslaught of continued scientific investigation from every discipline is exposing their worldview, their scientific worldview, as bankrupt. But Christians should realize, the ones who are not already in the fight, that when you show that evolution is false, you give a tremendous opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because people use evolution as their excuse to reject the Bible and then the God of the Bible.
Right, and that's very common. But I found when people reject evolution, as I did, then they have to ask themselves, well, if evolution didn't create us, then who did create us, or what did create us?
Who did? And Richard Dawkins in the Ben Stein's movie Expelled said, well, maybe aliens created us. So that's sort of funny, but you're left with just a few theoretical options. And the primary one with all the evidence is that we're created by a personal God who loves us.
Yeah, and you say that aliens created us. Well, the problem with that is who created the aliens?
Who created the aliens? And somehow in Ben Stein's movie, of course, he interviewed Richard Dawkins at the end, his movie Expelled, which you've seen a number of times. In fact, let's detour for a moment. How does Ben Stein's movie affect your book, Slaughter of the Dissidents?
Well, when I started doing research on this about 25, 30 years ago, a lot of people said, well, yeah, there's a few people who are let go, who are fired, who lose their careers because of questioning Orthodox Darwinism. But, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And the credibility was difficult to establish until the Ben Stein film. That film did more than anything else to establish the credibility of my book. And as a result, well, on Amazon.com now there are 38 reviews of my book, and they're all very favorable. And there are many reviews published in other journals. In fact, every review published so far about my book has been very favorable because they recognize that what I'm saying is a problem is indeed a serious problem.
Because supposedly the left, liberals, evolutionists, atheists, humanists, supposedly they value things like tolerance, diversity, free speech. And what you're exposing, Dr. Bergman, is that's not true at all. If you don't follow the party line, if you just question it, they will come after you with a vengeance. And you will lose your job, your career even. So this is a pretty significant topic. So Ben Stein's movie has helped establish really a market for your book.
Very much so. And as a result, it's been very well received because basically people now, many people now realize this is a problem. And it's true that many people do stress tolerance and acceptance of other ideas and so on, but all too often that's limited to certain groups. And one group that's not extended to is people who question Darwinism.
Yeah, what a great point. So we were talking about Ben Stein interviewing Richard Dawkins, and he only had him on screen for a few minutes, but he did say, well, you know, what if when you die, Richard, what if you meet God? You know, you meet God. And his answer is, well, then I want to know why he hid himself so well. And obviously, the creation shows the glory of God everywhere we turn. His majesty, his brilliance, his love, a baby being born. We can see how awesome God is. But then he said, this is Richard Dawkins, the world's leading atheist evolutionist. He said, if microbiology one day proves that evolution could not have occurred, he said, well, then, obviously, life would have been planted here on Earth by aliens, and it was left at that. I wish Ben Stein would have had the time to ask him the question you just asked. If we cannot account for biological evolution here on Earth, then it couldn't happen on another planet somewhere. It's the same problem of physics.
Yeah, all you're doing is moving the problem somewhere else when you say aliens did it or the Earth was seeded by bacteria by other aliens, for example.
You're just punting.
Right.
You're punting. You're not answering the question.
Right.
And it's amazing to me how many evolutionists don't recognize that when they use that argument.
Yeah, you have to realize, though, evolution is a belief structure. It's the way they view the world. And your acceptance of evolution affects your perception of other things, like abortion, for example, is a critically important part of the acceptance of the Darwinian worldview. Where we came from and where we're going is clearly affected by Darwinian worldview. And I should mention, we use the word evolution a lot, and it means different things to different people. Some people actually claim evolution just means genetic change. Well, we see genetic change around us all the time. And so when we talk about evolution, and at least in my book when I talk about it, I'm then talking about genetic change. What we're talking about is Orthodox Darwinism, which is from the goo to you by way of the zoo, or in a more polite way, they express it as from molecules to man, or some people say from rocks to man. And that is what we're looking at. We're looking at basically a completely naturalistic worldview, which sees the origin of life and the diversity we see around us purely as a result of natural forces, primarily mutations, which are copying mistakes, which are damage to the genome. And this damage, they theorize, accumulates. And some damage is selected by natural selection. And as a result, what we have is basically life we see today, which is the result of the accumulation of mistakes. So basically, we are, according to evolution, the accumulation of a lot of mistakes.
Right.
And in my life, my mistakes accumulate, but they don't necessarily produce favorable. In fact, rarely do they produce favorable things.
Yeah, especially when mistakes accumulate.
Right.
Things deteriorate
and
rather
that's a
rapidly.
Problem. Yep.
Well, in Ben Stein's movie, it starts out at the Smithsonian with one of the scientists that he documents that he lost his career. That was Richard Sternberg.
Right.
And it just so happened that I was in Montana on a fossil dig with the producer of a major Hollywood movie coming out, alleged themovie.com, and Richard Sternberg and a few other scientist friends. And Ben Stein's movie was just about to hit the theaters. But you know about Richard's case, right? You document his case also.
Right. I have most of the cases in the film Expelled were documented in my book. There's a website called ExpelledExposed.com, and they try to refute the premise of the film Expelled. And it's really very, very unethical what they did. And if you read my book, it will go into detail to show that indeed these people were indeed let go specifically because of their questions, their doubts about Darwinism. And the evidence we use for that are things like internal emails from different faculty stating in writing in the emails that so-and-so is let go because, specifically because of, in the case of Gomero Gonzalez, because of his acceptance of the idea that there's purpose in the universe. And they really focused on the idea of purpose, that there is no purpose, because evolution says there is no purpose.
There is no purpose, which is a theological statement.
Right.
And here are supposed committed scientists who are demanding that you adhere to their theological perspective of metaphysics. And that is just so rude because none of the laws of the physical sciences extend to these ideas. So what right do they have? Actually, they have no right to do this. But how could they possibly think they're being consistent as a scientist when they demand adherence to metaphysical concepts?
Because Darwinism is a worldview, and the worldview includes basically everything. And it includes the idea that there is no purpose in the universe. We're here as a result of random factors, of the outworking of natural law, of chance, accumulation of mutations, and the outworking of various forces. And these forces occur not because of purpose. They occur because, well, of chance, time, and the outworking of natural law, etc. So we're looking at a worldview which is very, very central to most of our lives. And once one has a worldview like Darwinism, which precludes purpose, therefore this upsets them because this goes against the way they see the world.
Gonzalez, he did the book Privileged Planet and the
and
then the DVD.
Right.
Extraordinary documentaries are being produced by the intelligent design community.
Right.
Unlocking the Mysteries of Life.
Life, yep.
And the Privileged Planet. And then the latest is about the Cambrian Explosion, a documentary. That's rather extraordinary also. The Privileged Planet lets it slip that, not by accident, on purpose, the intelligent design movement, most of it is old Earth. Most of it is old Earth. And in the Privileged Planet, they indicate one of the arguments they make is that the Earth is, you know, is old. It's
well, they
not
assume
young.
That. Yeah, they assume that.
Yeah. One of their arguments, they talk about something about the coast of the continents. And at that point, they indicate a process that would take hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah.
But it's good for us as young Earth creationists to recognize there's a lot of good science being done by even atheists and intelligent design scientists. But we have to be careful not to assume that anybody who's refuting Darwin is promoting the biblical creator. Many of them are not,
right?
Including the guys that you've documented.
Yeah. A lot of people, they look at my book and they say, well, these are just creationists or just teaching creationism. And a number of problems with that are, number one, we're all creationists. Everybody's a creationist. The difference is who or what is the creator. We believe that God is the creator. They believe that other things, in this case, natural forces and time and chance and accumulation mutations and the outworking of natural law and so on, is the creator. So we're all creationists. We all recognize that the creation was created. The question is who or what is the creator? Intelligent design is actually focused on a very specific thing, and that is the evidence for or the indication of intelligence in the natural world. And so among the intelligent design movement are young Earth, old Earth, agnostics, atheists.
Right.
And it surprises me that there are a number of atheists in the intelligent design movement. I'm asked them, how could they be an atheist and be part of this movement? And they say, well, I recognize that Darwin doesn't explain it. Therefore, it doesn't mean I'm going to accept the Christian or Jewish or Muslim worldview. Simply, I'm saying that we don't know how we got here, and I'm not willing to say that we were created by an intelligent creator. So basically, theistic creationists go beyond that and say, we know it wasn't done by Darwinism, therefore we conclude it was done by a creator. So we're all creationists. So when you say that these people are teaching creationism, of course, everybody teaches creationism, at least in science classes.
One way or another.
One way or another, right.
And actually, I wish some of the creationists, it's easy for me to say, I'm sitting in a radio studio, this is a Christian ministry, I'm not at risk of losing my job if I admit the truth that Jesus Christ is our creator. But I wish more of our allies in public schools and in universities and in science would come out of the closet and say, look, I'm not only questioning Darwinism, the truth is that there is a personal God who made us, and the evidence is everywhere. I wish there'd be a little bit more courage to do that, Dr. Bergman, because these people are getting fired anyway. They're getting fired en masse.
True.
Sometimes you need people who are willing to sacrifice everything to win a battle. You need that.
That's true. But in researching this book, and I have five file cabinets full of information which supported this book, which, as I mentioned to you earlier, is volume one.
This is volume one, Slaughter of the Dissidents.
Of five volumes.
And so, volume two, when do you think that'll be out?
Volume two is 99% finished. We're just doing some final editing, and hopefully that'll be out this year.
Wow. So that'll be 801 published works. I'm only joking with the exact number. But you may be the most prolific creationist writer. You have quite a few degrees, right?
9 degrees, that's correct.
Could you give me an – I know I take rabbit trails. I apologize for that. We'll get back. But could you give me an idea what some of them are in?
Well, I have a bachelor's, a master's, a doctorate from Wayne State University in Detroit. And then I have a master's degree from Bowling Green State University. I have a master's degree from the Medical University of Ohio, and another three masters total from Medical University of Ohio, and mostly in the natural sciences as well as the social sciences. So that has been my major focus. I've taught now at the college level for 40 years. I've taught primarily biology, chemistry. I've taught some physics for a number of years.
And teaching in Ohio, my wife Cheryl's from Middletown, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're teaching in Ohio, right?
Right, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taught in Ohio and Michigan for most of my career.
Mm. And you write often for Answers in Genesis?
Well, not so much for Answers in Genesis, but for Creation Research Society, I've done a lot of writing for. Back on the biology editor for CRS.
And CRSQ, they're quarterly, we've talked about on this show for many years. You have articles in CRSQ.
Just about every issue I have an article, yes. Mm-hmm. And I've got several more coming out.
And Jerry, on a personal note, Dr. Bergman, thank you for your life's work, because I'm one of thousands that you have educated, and I have done what I can in my meager way to share the truth of God's creation with thousands of others. So you're creating a legacy. At our church, Denver Bible Church, we think that there are three great strengths that the body of Christ has now that are growing assets. And the first is the young earth creation movement.
Mm-hmm.
And you are one of the generals of that army. The second is homeschooling, Christian homeschooling. And the third is the resurgent pro-life personhood movement, which is now working in 40 states in the U.S., in Canada, and Mexico, and it's based on the God-given right to life of the unborn, and many personhood-leading organizations are promoting not only creation in opposing Darwinism, but they're promoting a young earth creationism.
Yeah.
So this is really significant. I had asked you, maybe some of these guys in academia and all should be a bit more courageous and say, look, I'm not only opposing Darwinism, but we know there's a creator God. The evidence is overwhelming. What do you think of that idea?
I think organizations like your church and other groups need to help these people be more courageous. Because in doing research on this book, I found divorce was not rare. I found a couple of cases of suicide, even some cases of homicide.
Yeah.
It's not just losing a job, it's losing a career. Mm. And when you spend 9 years going to college for a PhD, another couple of years postgraduate work, publication, et cetera.
Yeah.
You have a lot of time invested. And a number of these people who lost their careers ended up doing things like selling insurance or driving truck. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but when you have nine years preparation, and also in one case, I know a person had over $300,000 loans and they couldn't pay those back.
Oh, my.
Because they were unable to get employment that was sufficient to pay those loans back.
Dr. Jason Lyle, you know his name? He's the astrophysicist with Ken Ham.
Mm-hmm.
And he got his degree right up the street here at CU, University of Colorado in Boulder.
Uh-huh.
And he was undercover for his years as a student and a graduate student because he realized somehow the school could find an excuse to deny him his degree if they found out he was a young earth creationist. And I do have to admit, it was a wise course of action for him. And he now has a degree from a worldly, prestigious secular university in the area of astrophysics, and he's using it to the glory of God.
Yeah. One thing you have to keep in mind in this is that the scriptures make it very clear that he who does not take care of his family is worse than one without the faith.
Yeah.
And I find
that's absolutely true.
In these cases, a lot of the wives stick with them. But on the other hand, it can really severely adversely affect a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some of the people I worked with on this book call me on the phone and just in tears, males in tears over what it did to their family.
Oh,
and in
my.
A sense, you can't really fault the wife for not sticking by her husband, but to be unemployed in some of these cases for years or to find jobs that just don't pay the bills. I mean, yeah, you can work at McDonald's, but can you pay off a $500,000 student loan or even a $100,000 student loan? Can you pay the mortgage of a house or rent for a house and take care of a family? No, you can't do that with a job at McDonald's. And so therefore, a lot of these people.
So this is cruelty. This is cruelty being inflicted by those who are in power in academia and research and government grants, the National Institutes of Science and Health and all that. This is a cruelty. And it's a witch hunt, really.
It is very much a witch hunt. That's true.
Against people who question Darwinism. And if they were confident in their worldview, they wouldn't have that level of fear.
Yeah.
That's my assessment. Because getting a degreed, trained evolutionist into a debate is a difficult thing to do.
Very difficult. I did debate P.Z. Myers about a year ago.
P.Z. Myers, wow. He was in Expelled.
Yeah. And
an evolutionist. And Ben Stein, in the simplest way, just had so much fun with P.Z. Myers.
But on the other hand, I thought Richard Dawkins was far more effective for Expelled's purpose. In fact, I didn't think P.Z. Myers was all that effective. And I told him he did a good job. And Expelled, and he somehow twisted that around to try to imply that I was making fun of him.
Oh,
I wasn't.
You were being sincere. Well, what was P.Z. Myers' role? I should know. I saw that movie.
P.Z. Myers really did not say anything foolish, and many of the others did. And so, therefore, it's certainly Richard Dawkins. And he said, you know, I'm being honest in this film. And most people are not. And he was honest. Mm. Most evolutionists, from my experience, would not have said much of the things that Dawkins said. And so the interview with Dawkins was especially useful because he was honest, where many of the others were not. Many of the others were very guarded and didn't say things that they felt could have hurt the Darwinistic movement. And I think P.Z. Myers is in that category because he was pretty careful in what he said. And I don't think he said really much.
Do you recall? Could you or, you know, it's a little rude of me to ask you about a movie you saw 2 years ago. Do you recall what he said? Because I'm trying to remember the name of the scientist, and you might remember the piece where Ben Stein said, well, how does it begin? How does biological life begin? And this evolutionist, well-known evolutionist, said, on the backs of crystals. And Ben Stein, a moment later, says, yeah, but how does it begin? And he said, I already told you, on the backs of crystals.
Yeah, that was Michael Ruse, who's kind of an interesting guy.
Michael Ruse, thanks for remembering that.
Yeah, I had a number of good conversations with him, though. He will listen. I talked to him, I bet, for an hour, and he listened pretty much and basically took in what I had to say and didn't make any nasty comments, as evolutionists are wont to do. And so from my contacts with Michael Ruse, are pretty positive.
But you debated P.Z. Myers?
P.Z. Myers, and I was scheduled to debate Richard Dawkins. An atheist society in Indiana set it up, and they got me involved and Richard Dawkins involved. And Richard asked for a copy of my resume, which I sent to the atheist group in Indianapolis. And then they sent it on to Dawkins. And then they emailed me and said he backed out. So I was disappointed because I was hesitant at first. But then I worked on a good lecture and I thought, you know, I think I can do a pretty good job, even though I'm debating the world's foremost evolutionist.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wasn't real confident. But as I worked, I was confident. And then he backed out and I thought, well, gee, I got this good lecture all prepared for nothing.
Well, Dr. Sarfati has just written his book, a rebuttal to Richard Dawkins' book. And Sarfati's is called The Greatest Hoax on Earth. And he goes through and he just has the most – you could tell that he's having fun refuting Richard Dawkins. These guys are vulnerable. They're exposed because the science is coming down with a crushing force. And the assumptions that they were able to make in Darwin's day, you know, one after another, they're being refuted. They're being disproved by their own scientific endeavors.
Yeah, I read Richard Dawkins' latest book, and I didn't think he defended evolution very well. Basically, most of Richard Dawkins' books that I've read, basically, he talks about the wonders of creation. I mean, that's you think about it. All he'd have to do is take that book and modify it a little bit and take out some things and change a few things, and he could sell that book to creationists and title it The Wonders of Creation. Mm.
10 years ago, we had a caller on the show, and we just pulled up the recording, and we're going to put this on YouTube. And he said, Bob, you speak against evolution, but have you read Richard Dawkins? And I said, yeah, I read his, what did I read? His Blind Watchmaker and The Selfish Gene, way back when. And I said, Richard Dawkins doesn't provide evidence for evolution. He just assumes it, and he thinks if he can make an illustration, he's proved his point. And so now in his latest book, he lists all his previous books and he says, you know what? I've never provided the evidence for evolution in any of my books. So we're taking that quote. It's actually a quote also. And we're putting the two together. It's so funny, Jerry.
Yeah, well, he doesn't provide it in his latest book, although it's a good book. I thought it had a lot of good things about the wonders of nature, nature and the wonders of creation. But in fact, I don't remember really any major points he made relative to trying to defend evolution.
Well, Jonathan Sarfati in his rebuttal book refers to you about a dozen times in your research, and it is just a joy. It is so much fun to read that book. So we're almost out of time. Is it all right that we do another show and we'll on more creation evolution type topics?
Be glad to.
Now tonight it's 7 o'clock, and the topic for one, if you come on out to Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship at Bethlehem Lutheran Chapel, 21st and Wadsworth, for one, you will get to meet perhaps the world's most prolific creation author, Dr. Jerry Bergman, and one of my heroes. I never dreamed when I started reading your writings 30 years ago that I'd be sitting in a studio with you, Dr. Bergman. But you'll get to meet Dr. Bergman, and you'll hear the story of the slaughter of the dissidents, and you can invite a friend. So thank you, Dr. Bergman, for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. What an honor. And tonight, again, at 7 o'clock, 21st and Wadsworth. And Maranatha, what a great school. This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.